Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're discussing the question, my spouse is extremely jealous to the point that he/she doesn't want me to interact at all with people of the opposite sex. What should I do?
Some people are so jealous that they don't want their mates to have interaction with other people, and I've seen it so bad that they don't even want them having meaningful relationships with people of the same sex. So this kind of thing can really get out of hand, and this is a good question. So first of all, we'll start out with just some biblical foundation stuff, and then we'll take those foundations and address the two spouses in this situation. So we'll address the jealous spouse and then the object of that jealousy.
Okay. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with God is a jealous God.
Yeah, God is a jealous God. I preached a message on the jealousy of God during our sermon series in Exodus, and that message was based upon the first couple of commandments in the Ten Commandments where God says, I'm the only one that's supposed to be worshipped. Don't worship any other god before me. Don't make any graven image. And the idea is God alone is worthy of worship. God is not going to share worship with anyone. And in our culture, we tend to use the words jealousy and envy interchangeably, which is unfortunate because they're really two different concepts. Jealousy and envy are not the same thing. And envy is always a bad thing. Jealousy, not always a bad thing. Envy is when I want what someone else has, and the Bible uses the word coveting for that. That's actually one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not covet. That's envying. It's when I want what someone else has. Jealousy is when I don't want to share with someone else what I have. And unfortunately, we almost always think of that as a bad thing. Sometimes it is a bad thing, but sometimes it's not a bad thing. Obviously, it's not always a bad thing because the Bible describes God as a jealous God. In fact, in those first two commandments in the Ten Commandments, the Lord is described as a jealous God. Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5 read, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, Yahweh your God, am a jealous God." And this characteristic of Yahweh, it's such a foundational part of who he is that later in Exodus, after the golden calf debacle in Exodus 34, the text tells us that Yahweh's name is jealous. He says, Yahweh, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. So God is jealous in that he will not share the worship and affection of his people with other gods. So God is a jealous God.
So if God can be jealous, this should tell us that there is such a thing as godly jealousy.
Exactly, right. It's good and godly that Yahweh, Almighty God, that he will not share the worship and affection of his people with other gods. There's only one God to whom that is due. It's right for him to not want to share that. And the scriptures repeatedly use the metaphor of adultery to describe the sin of worshiping other gods. That metaphor is even used in the New Testament in places like James chapter 4 and verse 4, which reads, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now, the word friendship kind of downplays the word that's in the original text. It's more love. Love of the world is enmity with God. God will not share the love of his people with the world. That's a good thing. It's good. It's a good thing. But then at the same time, God does call us to have compassion on the world. He calls us to minister to the world. He calls us to make disciples. Paul says explicitly in 1 Corinthians 5 that it should be kind of a nonsense thing to us for us to be pulled out of the world altogether. It's antithetical to the mission of the church for us to have nothing to do with the world. So it's not that God calls us to have nothing to do with the world, but simply that our love, our devotion, our affection is to be reserved for Him. So I'd say that's foundational truth number one. There is such a thing as godly jealousy. God is a jealous God, and yet that godly jealousy does not necessitate absolutely no interaction with the world. Okay, that's foundational truth number one.
Yeah, that's helpful. Foundational truth number two is the Bible calls us to have relationships with other brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right. We won't go into all the one another commands, but there are dozens of them in the New Testament. And when we say one another commands, we're talking about all of these imperatives in the New Testament that tell us love one another, confront one another, encourage one another. There's just a bunch of them. And it's taught clearly in Ephesians 4, and it's taught and assumed all over the New Testament, that the way that the church has been designed to grow is by meaningful interaction in one another's lives. There simply isn't a plan B for spiritual growth in the church. So to not be engaged in meaningful relationships in the church means that you're not going to grow spiritually, and because that kind of interaction in the church is commanded, to not be engaged in those kind of relationships is also sinful. Mm-hmm. So we've got Ephesians 4 that explains that that's how the church works, meaningful relationships and serving one another. That's how we grow spiritually. Here's like a more pointed passage that says, hey, you need to have these kinds of relationships. This is Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, a lot of churches will use that passage to kind of beat up on people who don't come to church. And, you know, we should never use the scriptures to beat up on anybody, but that passage, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, that should be used to convict not just those who don't come to church, but those who come to church all the time, but that's it. That's all they do. If we follow closely the words of the passage that I just read, the opposite of neglecting to meet together isn't just showing up and coming to church, but rather it's stirring one another up to love and good works. It's encouraging one another. So this is a passage that points us to not showing up at church, but rather having meaningful relationships. So the point is that having godly relationships outside of our homes is a matter of obedience in the New Testament. And not only that, it's a matter of spiritual growth. So we won't grow if we don't have those kinds of relationships. Also, sexual segregation, where opposite sexes have no interaction with one another, that really can't be found in the New Testament, nor can it be maintained from the teaching of the New Testament. And if we look at the end of some of Paul's letters, where he's saying, "Hey, say hi to so and so, and say hi to so and so," these are people of opposite genders that they're supposed to be interacting with. There are churches in the homes of females that males and females are attending. There's all kinds of this kind of stuff. And then if we think about even Acts chapter 6, which I believe is the election of the first deacons, you've got male deacons serving female widows. So you got interaction between the sexes all over the New Testament. So the Bible calls us to have relationships with other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's foundational truth number two.
So given those principles, what would you say to the jealous spouse?
Okay, so to that person who doesn't want to share their spouse, first of all, I would say there is such a thing as godly jealousy. There is an intimacy that is to be shared only within marriage, and so it's good and godly for a spouse to not want to share his or her mate with another person in an intimate sense. So, I'll just go on the record right here and say, if another man touches my wife in an intimate way, we're going to have problems.
Me too.
Yeah, that's not sinful. That's good. That's designed by God to preserve the purity of the marriage bond. But there's such a thing as ungodly jealousy. It is wrong for you to expect your spouse to not have any interaction with anyone in any way outside of your marriage. Your spouse is called to have relationships in the church, and you may be stifling your spouse's spiritual growth by impeding them from having those kind of relationships. You don't typically see ungodly jealousy in those who are enamored with Jesus. Hmm. So if you have a spouse who is just eaten up with jealousy over their spouse, ungodly jealousy, okay, they're typically someone who is not following closely after the Lord. Usually it's a spouse who is hyper-controlling and or worshiping their spouse. So ungodly jealousy is usually a worship problem. It's that worship problem that needs to be fixed.
What would you say to the spouse who's the object of that jealousy?
Okay. I would say to that person, is it possible that your spouse isn't really inordinately jealous, but is it possible that you are crossing lines that shouldn't be crossed? I mean, that may not be the case, but it's something to consider. And so I would suggest that you think about, you know, what kind of interaction are you having with people of the opposite sex? Is there anything remotely flirtatious going on? So you can have a conversation with your spouse about that. You know, if this was you and Ashley, you know, ask Ashley, you know, am I doing anything that would seem flirtatious to you? Or, you know, just get your spouse's perspective on it. There may be something that you're doing that you don't realize is coming across as flirtatious, and you should want to know that. Now, we've talked before, and I can't remember what episode it was in. We talked about every man's ability to convince himself that any woman is interested in him.
Yep.
So some women, of course, they know they're flirting, and they're doing it on purpose, okay? But some women are just friendly, and men are such idiots that they can construe just about anything as an invitation to something deeper, right?
Mm, yeah.
So wives, you really need to listen to your husband's thoughts on this, because if your husband sees you doing something, he thinks that it's flirtatious, he's seeing that from the perspective of a man, okay? You don't feel like you're doing anything flirtatious, and you're not doing anything intentionally flirtatious, but that doesn't mean that a man's not going to take it that way. You got to remember that a man has a much more sensitive tripwire than a woman does.
So what you're saying is if he interprets it as being flirtatious, the man that she's just being nice to might also...
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And so be sensitive to what your husband is saying. So your husband may not be saying to you, you are being flirtatious and you need to knock it off. He may just be saying, hey, this is going to be perceived as flirtatious by this man who has the ability to convince himself that any woman is interested in him. Just be careful. Women need to understand that men have this ability. We can convince ourselves that anyone is interested in us. So listen to your husbands and take into consideration that, hey, he might be right, and I may need to pull back here. At the same time, keep in mind that there really is a danger in opposite sex relationships. So they do need to be extremely casual. Close relationships should be reserved exclusively for spouses and same-sex friends. Maybe we could talk sometime about appropriate boundaries. For example, like this is a boundary that Shelby and I have in our marriage. Like, we don't text people of the opposite sex. If we need to text somebody of the opposite sex, we include each other on that text. Like, we've got these different barriers in place to prevent things from going where they shouldn't. Anyway, just keep in mind that there is a danger in opposite sex relationships, and you do need to keep an eye on these things. Now, if it's not the case that you're doing anything to cross any lines, and your spouse really is just inordinately jealous, your spouse just doesn't want you talking to anyone, then I would suggest to take these passages that I've mentioned in this episode and have a conversation about it. And maybe that you need to get together with maybe one of the pastors to sit down and talk about it as kind of somebody outside of your marriage to help you both think through this together. And as that is taking place, I would just encourage you to be patient and understanding with your spouse as they're trying to, with God's help, reorient their thinking on this issue.
Amen. Good stuff, Greg.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Okay.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.